a moment from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Haunting, Unearthly, and Paranormal Stories podcast. Each week will be a different event, whether paranormal or some other strange and unexplained happening. Maybe even a haunting located near you will be examined and relayed to you. These events and stories are based on events and have been given to us by the people who experience these events in their own lives. These weekly journeys we take together will lead us down deserted roads, into the deep and dark forests, and through the doors of buildings we should not enter. Pull up a chair and join me as we take a step into the unknown here on the Haunting, Unearthly, and Paranormal Stories podcast. Just remember, believe those that you choose, or believe in none. It is your choice!
Howdy, folks, and welcome to the tailgate.
For those of you just joining us, we're on a road trip across America to uncover the mysteries behind tall tales, fairy tales, folk tales, fish tales, and urban legends, one interview at a time.
We inherited a truck from our late Granny May and discovered that the crystal hanging off the rearview mirror was more than just decorative. It's a dowsing pendulum, leading us to the good folks behind the tales we all grew up with.
We accidentally stole a canopic jar belonging to the mummy of Pharaoh Ai, who placed a death curse on us, but fret not, tailgaters, because all we have to do is reunite the jar with the others by the next blood moon to break the mummy's curse.
Yeah, we'll ship that son of a bitch right back to the museum before you know it, and avoid having our souls forfeited to Anubis. Ain't no thing. And with that, I'm Harrison the Florida Man.
And I'm Aaron the Cheesehead, and tonight we are in the very swanky, not at all dusty, Dallas Hotel.
Yeah, we're in Dallas. Before we get down to business, what drink you mixing there, Cheesehead?
Oh, you mean this buttload of tomato juice and vodka?
Uh-huh.
I'm making Bloody Marys, obviously.
Why? I mean, what's wrong with a regular beer? You know what I mean? If it ain't broke. Plus, I think there's more to Bloody Marys than just straight up tomato juice and vodka.
Man, like what?
I think there's Tabasco sauce, pepper, lime, horseradish, celery. I mean, it's a cocktail, man.
I got the essentials. You'll be fine.
I don't think you do. You at least grab some top shelf vodka? Or hell, I mean, I'd settle for mid.
Ooh, yeah, let me see here. Smirnoff.
Okay, so that's a hard no. What the hell's that got on the label there?
Ooh, the label. Well, my goodness, it appears to be a Granny Smith apple.
Well,
that's kind of a weird label for a corn-based beverage.
Yeah, we want apple bottom jeans, vodka. That ain't weird, because it's green apple vodka. Oh, man, I ain't drinking that shit. You got anything else?
No.
All right, well, then I'm reluctantly drinking that shit. Pass it over.
Hey, here you go, buddy. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, I hate to tell you this, man, but this shit's awful. And why on earth are you mixing a third drink there?
Why, for today's guest.
Damn, you must really hate today's guest.
Hey, Florida man, be a pal and light that candle for me real quick.
What, this in here?
Yeah.
Man, sure, no problem.
Hey, yeah, great. Now switch off the lights for me, will you?
Yep, can do. Am I explaining what this is about?
Oh, yeah, sure. But first, just gaze right into that mirror real quick and say Bloody Mary 3 times with me.
Oh, sure.
Bloody Mary.
Oh, wait, whoa. Hey, we're summoning Bloody Mary?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I made Bloody Marys and chanted her name 3 times in the mirror.
Okay, yeah, that checks. What if she tries to kill us?
Well, we'll just shove this nasty-ass drink down her gullet and run.
Oh, damn, yeah, so you actually thought this through.
Nope.
Okay, well, let's do it.
All right, yeah, Bloody Mary.
Easier, please. Oh, sorry, yeah. Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
So what's supposed to happen?
She should be here any second now.
Maybe she thinks you're ugly.
Good thing we turned the lights off then.
Yeah, if not, what happens then?
Yeah, I guess we just finished this drink for her. No sense in wasting perfectly good alcohol.
Yeah, I think we got very different definitions of perfectly good. I'll leave that finishing to you. You hear that?
You hear what? Oh, my God, check out the mirror. Fracturing like a spider's web. Oh, shoot. Arm yourself with that third cup.
Okay, got it.
Ready? Aim.
What the actual fuck? What even is this? Rat poison? Lie? It's truly dreadful, whichever the case.
Oh, it's a Bloody Mary.
A Bloody Mary? You having a laugh? Are all Bloody Marys in America made of spaghetti sauce and turpentine?
Well, it actually depends on the bar.
Well, whoever mixed this unholy backwash properly bodged it.
Ah, yeah, that would be me. You care to have a drink with us and have a chat?
As near unforgivingly nasty as this cocktail is, I could absolutely kill for a drink right by now.
Yeah, please don't. Please? Please?
What are you going to do to stop me?
Well, I can offer you a fresh cocktail, don't you know?
I'd say this drink is more a cock up than a cocktail, but it's been a day, so I'll take what I can get.
Mighty big thanks for sparing us from your ethereal wrath.
Woo.
Well, how about we get things started then?
You have until I choke down this unholy concoction, so make it quick. Ugh. Well, second thought, it might actually take a while.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
You are quite possibly the most household urban legend in the Western world, with an equally common urban legend in the East, being that of Hanako-san, or Hanako of the Toilet.
Ugh.
Yeah, Hanako-san, that little nipper from Japan making a pastime of haunting girls' lavatories. Classy, that one.
Well, Japanese spirits such as these are known as yokai. I nailed that. Meaning apparition, though not all of them are murderers and mischief makers.
Do you remember the game Mischief Makers on Sega Saturn?
No.
Anyone remember Sega Saturn?
No, man.
The game Knights? Okay, well, I used to play it at Sears. I didn't own one.
So, some yokai are actually believed to be quite helpful.
I just looked up some pictures of Hanako-san, and she's actually pretty adorable, with her red suspenders like Dennis the Menace and that little old bob cut.
Wow. Hanako looks sweet as a Cadbury, but I assure you she is quite nasty. You know, like an American chocolate bar. Between she and I drew the long straw. I much prefer haunting mirrors than the loo.
Wait, excuse me, what do you have against American candy bars?
Yeah.
They are waxy and dull. Hershey tastes more like you're eating a chocolate-scented candle than a proper chocolate bar. Though next to this sad drink you made me, I reckon anything is palatable.
Well, you are welcome for that, Hershey.
All right. I'm going to switch back the topic of mirrors right quick. So, according to my recollections and research, you are the product stemming from a divination ritual known as catoptromancy. That being the summoning of soothsaying spirits through the use of mirrors.
Wow, look who suddenly thinks they're an expert because he discovered Encyclopedia Britannica.
Wait, what? No, Mary, nobody uses Britannica no more. We hardly even use real books in my research. I mean, most research these days kind of starts with Wikipedia.
Wikipedia? Damn, I thought I was up to date on academic reference material.
Hey, no worries. Wikipedia is like a digital, endless Encyclopedia Britannica. Only it's updated and edited daily by a fleet of dedicated fact-checkers.
Dedicated fact-checkers? Scholars, you mean?
No.
No, not scholars exactly.
Definitely not.
More like very passionate, average people. You definitely wouldn't use Wikipedia on academic citations. That would flunk you real quick. I would know.
Yeah, didn't you? Didn't you update Wikipedia, Cheesehead?
Huh?
I tried to update my high school English teacher's Wikipedia under the... Oh, boy.
Your teachers have... For real?
No, she didn't have one, but, like, under the... If you looked up hippie on Wikipedia, there's a list at the bottom that's like, oh, these people were generally considered hippies, and I always tried to put her name under there, but then it would, like, a week later, it would be gone.
You're not a scholar. All right, sorry, I'm sorry.
No.
Try to be a scholar, though. the effort's appreciated.
Yeah. Probably not by the teacher. Yeah. Where do you go? I'm not a hippie.
Well, I guess that tells me all I need to know regarding the merit of your little show here.
Ouch. First our chocolate, now our merit.
What next?
Well, I'll save you a trip to your Wikipedia. My legend is pretty basic. Venture into dark quarters with a mirror, call to me by voicing Bloody Mary 3 times in a row, and voila, I shall appear before the summoner and murder them 99.9% of the time.
And the other 0.1%?
You, not to put too fine a point to it.
Oh, cool. So, wowzers, so we're the first summoners you haven't killed?
For now.
Yeah. Was that because she's going to kill us, or because your drink's nasty as shit?
Yes.
Okay. I've heard alternative spins on your summoning ritual over the years, some with candles, some with pitch darkness, some where the summoners spin 3 times in tandem chanting your name. Your name even changes, though, sometimes, depending on who you ask. Mary Worth or Hail Mary, for example.
I reckon you could twirl if you fancy it, but that's far from necessary. Apropos to my name, Bloody Mary, Hail Mary, Mary Worth, it's all just semantics. And while I can be summoned in total darkness, bloody hell, throw me a bone, candles, nightlights, bloody glowworms for all I care, some light, any light, is appreciated. It's just common courtesy.
Well, one thing that does seem to run consistently through your legend is saying your name 3 times, also known as the Rule of Three. It's a trope to anyone who knows a lick about the horror genre.
And comedy.
That's true.
You mean there are other characters out there who stole my ritual?
More or less. So, for instance, South Park uses a ritual to summon Biggie Smalls. The same one. You know, they say Biggie Smalls 3 times. Candyman is summoned by saying his name repeatedly, but only 5 times instead of 3.
Oh, and you can't forget the ghost with the most.
Ghost with the most.
Oh, she did forget.
Takes a real pair to claim that title.
Okay, well, you see, it's Beetlejuice is a movie from 1988 starring Michael Keaton as the titular ghost.
Oh, of course. You boys refer to works of fiction. Meanwhile, you have an actual real fucking ghost staring you in the face.
Well, is there something about the number 3 that's, like, important? Like, is it evil or something?
Mathematicians qualify an evil number as any non-negative number that has an even number of ones in its binary expansion.
Okay, well, I'm going to pretend like I know what the hell that means, because I ain't major in math.
But the number 3 is both a divisor and digit length of 666, which is probably the most iconically evil number. Mark of the Beast, they call it.
Okay, but why is Candyman summoned after a 5 count? 5 doesn't sound so evil.
Have you ever heard of a pentagram?
Whoa. Gotcha.
Moving on. I'd love to hear more about the historical context behind your enduring ghost legend. So, you care to share there, Miss Marriere?
Yeah, what happened to you in the past to make you haunt mirrors over multiple centuries?
A lot.
Wow. Well, all right then. Well, I guess we're done here.
I mean, just pack it up. That's all, folks.
Thank you so much. See you later.
God blind me. As it happens, there are many points in history attributed to my story. 3 stand out the most, some you are even likely familiar with. I'll order them chronologically for the sake of clarity.
Sounds like a plan. I'm guessing the first one on the list were Queen Mary.
Ah, but which Queen Mary?
What, you mean there's 2 Queen Marys?
Obviously.
Oh, okay. Huh? Well, maybe then the second one?
Oh, I'm gonna guess the first one.
Mary the first one.
Nailed it.
Yeah, we're so smart. Wikipedia.
Close enough. It was a trick question because they're both tied to my legend. Queen Mary I was coronated in 1553, but only reigned until 1558 when she died of what's now known as ovarian or uterine cancer. Tragic, really.
Oh, was she a good queen at least?
Matter of opinion. She re-established Roman Catholicism in Britain to replace the Church of England, which is lovely, if Roman Catholicism is your thing.
I mean, no, not particularly.
Meh.
Take it or leave it.
Naturally, a good many Protestants were rather unamused. This on top of the fact that England was riddled with flood and famine at the time.
Well, floods, eh?
Floods which drowned out crops, forced peasants to live in their own stagnant, waist-deep filth. Yeah. It was bad times, for sure.
I mean, you can't fault a girl for the weather.
Sure you can, if you're a Protestant.
Yeah, but at least her religious overturn was a big win for the Catholics.
That was her defining achievement for sure. However, her sister Elizabeth reversed this as soon as Mary died, which was only 5 years after she received the crown.
Damn, that's sad. Well, I mean, she ain't got like a successor or nothing, like a child take her place, heir and spare, I think it's called.
She sure thought she did. Her husband, Philip of Spain, visited her where she was thought to have become impregnated.
What, thought to have?
Correct. Turns out she was never actually pregnant. Alas, it was a false pregnancy. She bore no child, just blood. Lots and lots of blood.
Jesus, Mary Joseph. How does all of this tragedy tie into the legend of Bloody Mary? Oh.
Remember how I said Mary turned the tables on the Church of England?
Yeah.
This made her rather unpopular and garnished deep resentment from a majority of commoners.
Garnished like a Bloody Mary.
Got anything to do with the fact that Tudor England burned folks at the stake for heresy?
Absolutely. But despite the gratuitous litres of Protestant blood being shed under a short reign, execution for heresy was about as common in England as public hanging in the American West.
So she weren't so bad as she was made out to be, is what you're saying.
Many influential people started painting the image of her as a great tyrannical evil with an unquenchable thirst for blood. Whilst this isn't fully accurate, it did lead to the charming little nickname, Bloody Mary.
That's actually kind of depressing. Well, so what about Mary too, then? Was she just guilty by association?
The second Queen Mary was known as Mary Queen of Scots, as she ruled Scotland from 1542 to 1567.
What I remember about Mary of Scots is that she were Catholic herself, and weren't exactly taken in open arms by the people of England. Again, according to Wikipedia.
Here we go.
England was Protestant again after the passing of Mary I, having been reinstated by her sister and acting Queen Elizabeth.
Which I've already stated.
Which you did already state. While Mary of Scots had a legitimate claim to the throne, the King of England revoked her family from ever laying claim.
And it says here, according to Wikipedia,
good lord,
that France backed up Mary of Scots' claim, but could only do so much. After years of controversy, Queen Elizabeth I had Mary confined to various castles. After nearly two decades and an alleged assassination attempt on Elizabeth, Mary of Scots was eventually executed.
Damn. So, that's where the bloody part comes in, I reckon.
Oh, man, yeah. Apparently, the executioner just completely botched her beheading, first striking the back of her skull with his axe, and then just not following through her neck with the second strike.
Not to mention, the oaf grabbed her by her red mane and cried, God save the Queen! Only to watch in horror as her head slipped out from the wig he was holding to the collective gasps of the now scarred for life audience.
Holy shit! She had a wig on? Alright, the first Mary died without an heir, and her legacy disgraced, while Mary of Scots held a legitimate claim, but was, like, botchedly beheaded. I'm sure botchedly is a word. Because the folks of England thought it was fake news? Man, that's super sad. Not sure I want to hear whatever torture the third Mary was bound to endure.
So, the third contributing part to the Bloody Mary legend isn't from a girl named Mary, but Elizabeth.
So, two Marys and two Elizabeths. England must have had a terribly small name pool in the 16th to 17th centuries.
Titles and names held a lot of sway back then. It was a powerful statement to carry the name of former rulers and biblical heroines. But Elizabeth Bathory, as you'll soon find, was not half so innocent as the previous entries.
Wait, Bathory. Wasn't she the queen who murdered virgins and then bathed in their blood to stay young?
Correct, and all that without consulting Wikipedia. Look at you.
Okay, so I know that compliment is facetious, but I'm going to take it.
Elizabeth was not a Queen of England, but Hungarian nobility whose infamous deeds lend her the nickname Blood Countess.
Well, at least someone here can count. Fitting for a lady out there draining virgins like faucets for blood baths and blood babies?
Bloodbath baby.
Bloodbath baby.
Not like...
Not from Mary the First, though. That was
oh, shit.
Only
was
a blood, no baby.
Little bloodbath baby, and pair that with a nice little dirt tunnel milkshake, and you're good to go.
Oh, man.
Fuck. Right, I was the wrong time to drop a baby, and no, that it's just getting worse.
Always a blast of Bloody Mary on the show.
Right. Oh, you... Oh, you sad, simple fool. She did far more than bathe in blood. In fact, her captives would have probably cut their own throats to fill the tub for her if they knew what she had in mind for them.
Oh, fuck me. It says right here on...
Don't say it.
Wikipedia.
You're embarrassing yourself.
That after her husband died, the bloody countess started taking peasant virgins and torturing them for the sake of staying youthful and carried on completely unchecked for 6 years. Jesus, once her small town ran dry of virgin girls, she invited the daughters of lower nobles to her castle to study, quotation marks.
That makes it sound actually creepy in two ways, but...
only to relentlessly torture and murder them with the aid of a few other lady accomplices.
And according to historycollection.com, the tortures included being scalded with white-hot tongs after being dunked in freezing water, being drenched in honey and slowly devoured by ants, though I think it'd be a little more poetic if it were the bees, not the bees. No? Okay. Some would be burned, mutilated, and even cannibalized.
She was a real nasty one. And good on you for finding a legitimate source for once.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time before the King of Hungary caught wind of these horrors and promptly arrested her and her accomplices. Her cronies were tortured and burned alive. Elizabeth Bathory?
Bathory
was enclosed within a windowless stone room where she remained for the following 4 years before she finally died herself.
Well, bye. But the question remains, which one of these ladies is you?
I mean, in a way, all of them. These women all contributed to ghost stories which evolved into my own. If enough people believe that a bad bitch is going to pop out their mirror when they deliberately try to summon her, she probably will.
Oh, well, with all the scary shit out of the way, a lot of folks see things in the mirrors which they attribute to you. However, they live to tell the tale, which means probably ain't you, because unless they're also in the 1%, which seems like a real small percentage, I'd like to talk about the culprits behind the cases of mistaken identity, since... if they had actually seen you, they'd be, as mentioned, dead as doornails.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Oh. Alright. First bit of mirror trickery on the list comes from Giovanni Caputo at the University of Urbino. He talks about a visual phenomenon called stranger face illusion.
Are you saying I have a strange face?
Okay, his words, not mine. No, you have a nice face. It's very symmetrical. Strange face illusion is some sort of brain misfire called dissociative identity effect, where it's an out-of-body experience or sometimes the feeling of being in a different body altogether. So, folks see themselves both in and out of their body, which could give the illusion of seeing a different body being reflected back at them in the mirror. But he also says in the article entitled Visual Perceptions During Mirror Gazing at One's Own Face in Patients with Depression, that's a hell of a damn title, that it happens with people afflicted with depression or low self-esteem.
That's pretty fucking wild.
Well, there's also the more commonly known Troxler's fading.
Commonly known? I've been around for centuries and never heard of it.
Yeah, I'm with the lady on this one. The bloody lady.
It's a popular optical illusion where when you focus on a small point for long enough, other surrounding images or colors disappear or reappear. And for those of you listening, we'll be posting some examples of this on the Instagram at the Tailgate Podcast. So you can try it at home.
Yeah.
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 I think part of the reason why people believe to have seen me, or at least some form of me in their mirror, is due to the human's fascination with faces. I believe it's called pareidolia.
Oh, like how, like, plug outlets look like OMG emojis.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you have that frame of reference, Mary. You know, 16th century self. Plug outlets. Well, there's actually a pretty active subreddit on this phenomenon. We all who follow Reddit. People seeing Jesus in their toast, volcanic rocks looking like Cookie Monster. The kinds of images you can't really unsee. Can't really unsee.
Oh, I can't believe I actually finished this dreadful drink.
Well, before you phase back into the mirror... Oh, wait, you actually shattered the mirror when you burst through it earlier?
Womp womp.
So, I'm not actually sure how you get back in.
I just casually wander around till I find a new mirror. Don't worry about it. Burst back through it. Scare the living shit out of the poor souls around to witness it. Pretty standard practice, actually.
If you say so. Man, there's a lot of glass you're going to be stepping on. Anyway, I'd like to talk right quick about your influence on pop culture before you go, because it's pretty extensive.
Oh, yeah. Between 2000 and 2010, you were the focus of 4 horror films. Plus, in 2018, you were featured in the Brazilian horror comedy Ghost Killers vs. Bloody Mary.
Ghost Killers? Is that the Brazilian version of Ghostbusters?
Yeah, I don't know Portuguese.
It was definitely English.
No, but the Brazilian horror comedy being Portuguese, right?
Oh, yeah, Ghost Killers is definitely Portuguese.
Well, okay, the title, I'm assuming it's, whatever. You know what? That don't scratch the surface, because you've been seen in countless TV programs, such as The X-Files, Charmed, Supernatural, to name a few.
High praise.
You're not impressed by any of those. X-Files, fuck off.
My favorite portrayal of you came in 2008, when Bloody Mary was the icon of Halloween Horror Nights, an event in Universal Studios housing numerous haunted mazes and shows. Your house itself was, pretty weak, but the website they created? Oh, best they've ever done. It was immersive, creepy, they added new depth to your legend.
That was actually a really good year. That website was really good.
I like that this is real. I have no idea. Like, I haven't seen it, so. But that's...
That was one of the first years I went.
Yeah, I used to. I worked that year. I worked at Halloween Horror Nights that year.
That was the first year I went.
That was really good. Yeah, no, it was... The house itself wasn't so great, but they made... She was the icon of the entire event, so Bloody... It was cool. It was cool.
Ooh. I wish I had a time machine.
If I could go... Wait, so if I could turn back time... If I could find a way...
I'd go to Universal. I actually love the idea of a haunted house based on Bloody Mary. The agents at Universal should have hired me.
Yeah, but then you just killed a park goers.
Yeah, precisely. Give the fans the full experience.
I'm not sure that would bode well for Universal's future profit margins.
Their loss. Anyway, as I said, I've somehow managed to guzzle down the entirety of your god-awful beverage. And props to you. You managed to create a Bloody Mary a great deal scarier than the real thing.
Away, thank you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was an insult, she said.
Again. I'll take what I can get. Anyway, folks.
Yep.
Well, I guess we're just leaving.
Yeah, well, she's been trying to leave. We just keep bothering. She's like, well, I'm going to go now.
Anyway, folks, you like what you heard? Be sure to subscribe to the Tailgate Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast directory, and give us a rating while you're at it. It would really help us out.
For any questions, corrections, or personal stories you'd like to share with us, please write to thetailgatepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram @thetailgatepodcast for photos, cast info, updates, and more.
Right. And for those of you at home who would like to meet me, give me a call by entering a dimly lit room. Remember, dimly lit, tea lights, please. And saying my name 3 times.
Common courtesy.
And saying my name 3 times into the mirror. Go ahead. I dare you.
Oh, what could possibly go wrong?
99.9% death rate. All right, see you later, tailgaters.
Woo! Thank you all for joining us on the latest episode of the Tailgate Podcast. Bloody Mary is played by me, Ash Millman, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter @AshMillman and subscribe to PlayStation Access on YouTube to view more horror video game related content. Aaron the Cheesehead is played by Aaron Sherry. You can check him out on his YouTube channel, So Can You, without an exclamation point, and on Instagram @AaronUnabridged. Harrison the Florida Man is played by Harrison Foreman. Theme song is performed by Matt Jones. This episode is written and edited by Harrison Foreman. Their loss.